Welcome back to Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski and Sam Paniadovich on the BetMGM Network.
Lot planned this hour. We're going to do a countdown to kickoff on the Buffalo Bills coming up in about 20 minutes. A lot of NFL, of course, and we will talk about week one college football. We're still in week one. I don't know if they call it week zero anymore. That kind of turns a lot of people off, but things are going to ramp up tonight. Have a bunch of games to go over. It is Joe Ostrowski, Sam Paniadovich. This is Bet Sweats, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time on the BetMGM Network. All hour, we are live on X. If you want to watch the video version of this show, follow us on Twitter. The show account is bet_sweat. Sam at SB Shoot, and I'm at Joe Ostrowski. You know, I didn't think we were going to start here. I didn't.
You have to.
Okay, do we go with the Saturday games that everybody's going to be talking about and betting on? Do we go with the games tonight, the somewhat bigger matchups, which we will certainly get to? But when you bring up the odds board, Sam, you pointed it out to me just a moment ago. Why don't you take a look? Like, all right, I don't think see anything going on with Texas, Ohio State. He's not talking about Notre Dame, Miami. Top of the board, tonight's games? No, not too much action going on. Holy crap, it's all yellow, red, and a little bit of green on the FCS games.
They are lighting this thing up like a Christmas tree. No surprise, really. 7 o'clock Vegas time. This is attack time. You know, usually 6:45, 7 o'clock, you see those first real moves every college basketball day, FCS day. But remember, because we don't have a usual college football schedule where everything is Friday and Saturday, you have a lot of variety this week. Louisiana Monroe, when I woke up this morning, was -24.5. I look at the board now, it is 28.5. It has moved 4 points this morning. They absolutely shoved it. And I actually got a text yesterday from Tim Murray, who said, what does your FCS guy think about St. Francis? Of course I get that text. St. Francis, if you don't know, plays in Pennsylvania. And yes. Murray says to me yesterday, they lost almost all their starters. I'm laying 23.5 with Louisiana Monroe. He got a good number because it's 28.5 at Circa, 28.5 at Pinnacle. BetMGM does not have a lot of these games up, which is unfortunate, but this is FCS day. You're not going to see a lot of line moves for the Saturday games today. You are going to see FCS moves because this is when the limits are higher. I have a couple accounts where I can bet $100 on FCS days before the game, and then some of them today will move to $500. So if you have the ability to bet FCS, you want to get as much as you can, ideally. Mm-hmm. What does Crack always say? It's like stealing. FCS is like stealing. I'm not trying to gamble. I'm trying to steal. Well, a lot of these lines are very, very wrong, but people don't want to show their cards until you can get down more money. And that's why you see a lot of FCS movement day of the game, because the limits are so much higher.
I saw a picture of Crack the other day hanging out in the sports book. With Fezzik. Where else would he be hanging out? I don't remember where I saw that picture. That's another story. Let's talk in general about this. Rule of thumb, if there is one, maybe there isn't, because every situation is different. Let's say you don't have a lot of intel on these teams, but you're paying attention and you're watching the board like we are this morning, like some of our listeners and viewers are now that we point this out with all the movement that's happening. What is your thought process when you see massive movement? The amazing part to me is it's every game, Sam. It's not one game. It's not two games. It's every game on the board in that section. Do you wait until things chill out, take the other side, or do you look at it and say, no, 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 I know I'm not getting the best of the number. This move is the correct move. I want to follow the money. I know there's no 100 out of 100 times you're going to do this. Look at every situation a little bit different, but which way would you lean most times?
Well, in that game that we just talked about, Louisiana Monroe yesterday is 23.5. This morning it's 24.5. Now we're through 28. I'm not laying 28.
No, you're not betting it. Yeah.
You know, so it all depends on the number. I know you're asking facetiously. Like, I mean, it's very difficult to chase a lot of these moves. Even a game like UAB, went from 17 to now 20 and a half. That move happened this morning. It's still happening. You know, it was getting hit this morning at literally 10:03 a.m. Eastern. So 2 minutes ago, they drive this line up 3 points. I just think it's interesting to see the teams that they're betting. And oftentimes I will take a screenshot of the board right before the games kick off and just pay attention to the teams that they're betting, because odds are good. They like the number, but they have a nice idea that this team is underpriced. So if they come in today and bet UL Monroe, it's either a bet on Monroe or a bet against St. Francis, right? It's one or the other. Like, I don't know which one it is because I'm not a part of it. But if it's an anti-St. Francis thing, I want to see what St. Francis is getting next week and see where that number opens up and then see how that market goes. Or maybe it's Monroe. Maybe they're high on Monroe. And maybe you can bet Monroe in different spots this year against some of the bigger teams. Like, the moves happen, and that's going to always be the case in FCS as UAB now goes to 21. So from 17 to 21, within the last 6 minutes, they're betting UAB. I don't know if I answered your question, but I'm more interested in what the move is on and how that goes along in week two and week number three. Like, I'm not chasing these FCS moves. I do have a bet here, maybe, though. Rick was giving me a bet that they're going to be on, and if he will give me permission, I will give that out. But FCS is crazy. Day of the game, limits are as high as they're going to be, and people are teeing off.
All right, let's talk about some of these other games going down tonight. I see what, 3, 6, 7, 8 of them. One is at Arrowhead. That's going to be Nebraska-Cincinnati. But I want to start with Boise State and Florida. This is going to be the first game of the day. And this number's been on the move. It opened Boise -9.5. This morning I saw it get down to 5 at some spots. And now it's starting to creep back up. Some Boise support happening after they were fading Boise for much of the week here. So it drops down to 5, 5.5. Now it's creeping back up. I see a 6.5 out there, but the market is 5.5. It's a fascinating conversation because you have Boise coming off a phenomenal season, playoff appearance, Ashton Genty year, and now you remove him from the conversation, and it looks like they're going running back by committee. So how much is Genty worth? How is that going to roll with Boise on the road as a favorite of less than a touchdown in this spot? I find that to be very interesting because much of the week they've been fading Boise without Genty, and now it got to a point where people are like, okay, listen, this move is going too far. Let's take Boise.
There's a lot of respect for Byron Brown, who's the quarterback at USF. He was one of the guys that was very prominent last year. You know, I do my injury list every week. He was one of the guys that was on that a ton. And then there was a game where it was being reported that he was going to try and give it a go on a Saturday and that he was in a boot and he missed multiple weeks. So he just couldn't stay healthy last year. But all accounts are that Byron Brown is healthy. So you have two factors in that game. What is Boise without Genty? And we'll find out tonight. Mm-hmm. But what can Byron Brown, the dual threat quarterback for USF, do when he's healthy and has another year of seasoning? They like their receiver room at USF, and that quarterback is very, very special. So I think there's a combo platter where you have the disbelief in Boise being a big road favorite, but also a lot of support for this USF offense with Byron Brown. I did not make a bet on the game. Man, I would love to have USF +7 right now, but it's moved so much. I don't have any interest in taking 5.5.
Yeah. Maybe with the move continues there, the support for Boise, and it ends up moving up a little bit, but I have a hard time believing that we're going to get. South Point is at 6. There are a couple of 6s. So, you know, maybe it moves back up, but. Yeah, I hear you. So it sounds like unless you get to 7, you're not really interested in betting this game, but there is a potential dog play for you. Anything else tonight? We've got Nebraska-Cincinnati. Nebraska, they are a let's call them a 6.5 point favorite, neutral site game. Obviously, many more Cornhusker fans there going up against Cincinnati. And another one that stands out, I guess, Wisconsin. 17.5, they're home favorites against Miami of Ohio. It's already Luke Fickell's third year. They took a couple steps back last season. I want to say a lot of people were backing them before the season got rolling. And then, it was very disappointing. Sub 500 in the challenging Big Ten. So this is going to be a big season for Fickell.
I know the books need Cincy big time. Nebraska is a huge side. There's been a lot of Nebraska support. They're laying it, yet we still haven't quite gotten the 7 yet, day of the game. Mm-hmm. Interesting, huh? They need the dog, but not enough to go to 7. So they're going to let you come in and lay that 6.5. That's a neutral site game, although it'll be very, very heavy in Nebraska because Nebraska travels extremely well. That's the game at Arrowhead. They need Cincinnati. I've been assured of that. Sportsbook's rooting for the Bearcats to stay inside the number.
I want to go to Saturday, the big game of the weekend that everybody's going to talk about, everybody's going to watch. Texas, Ohio State. There are 2.5s out there. Is there any way we get to Ohio State -3? I'm basically asking you, can we really get to Texas +3?
I don't think so. I mean, we're 1 at a couple shops. Dave Mason's book is 1 on Ohio State. And, you know, you look at a lot of these shops, Pinnacle, Chris, Superbook, South Point, they're all 1.5. MGM is 1.5 as well. So you're seeing a lot of support. Believe it or not, Joe, people want to bet Texas because Texas has this quarterback you may have heard of named Arch Manning. There's a lot of support there. And I think most people will look at, oh, well, I get the #1 team. I get the Heisman favorite.
Yeah.
And I get points. And I can get 2.5 and 2. Now it's 1.5. But those are bets that probably don't stop. I don't think you're going to see this huge push on Ohio State to get it back north because you'll just have people waiting to bet Texas.
Yeah.
I think if we were going to play the game, guess the closing line, I would guess Ohio State -2. You're going to see some Ohio State support probably tomorrow, but it can't outweigh all the Texas support. There's so much of it, so much.
Call me Joe Public. I like Texas in this game. So then I'll probably have to take 2.5 in this spot. You've been talking about that.
Felder's
all week.
Convinced me. Yeah, he's convinced me. I think he's right. I think there's too much talent at receiver.
Are you at it at 47.5? Or are you hoping it drops even another half?
I don't think we're gonna get there, pal. Not think we're gonna get to 47. I think we're gonna wake up on game day, and that's going to be closer to 49.
Okay, so what Sam is saying, if you don't read between the lines, if you're not a regular on this show, as he's saying this with a grin on his face, he didn't tell me this, it's just obvious. You can pick up cues, especially if you're a regular, and we hope you're a regular throughout the college football and NFL season. He knows that there's going to be some sharp play coming in soon, and I don't know if it's today, don't know if it's tomorrow, don't know if it's Sunday morning. He's telling you that there is going to be a big move on the over sometime soon. It's not going to get to 47.7 because they're going to bet it at 47.5 because they don't think it's going to get to 47. And well, once waiting. That move happens, they're hoping, but you're saying it's not going to get there. Yeah.
I don't, but you can only wait so long, right? Because now you have bigger limits on the game because we're out to Thursday. I know for a fact that there are people salivating about the thought of betting 47, but you realize we haven't quite gotten there yet. And Pinnacle's 48. A lot of other books are 48. They don't want to go to 47 because then you could get middled because the big moves came in, not the big moves, not the big money moves, but the big market moves under 50.5, under 50, under 49.5, under 49. So now you go to 47 and the game lands 26-23, you lose everything. So the books do not fundamentally want to go to 47. Wise guys are waiting for it. But if we get to Friday, Saturday, and you start to see Pinnacle move to 48, or not Pinnacle, you see like Circa move to 48, mm-hmm. Chris move to 48, everybody's going to follow. So it feels like 47.5 is the floor.
All right, you're saying Felder convinced you. I'm saying you convinced me. So I'm going to be there too.
Good.
I'm going to be there. I'm just thinking about Sark against Patricia. Like, a stupid pencil. I can't wait.
Two NFL quarterbacks. Two NFL quarterbacks.
Yep, no doubt. Joe O, Sammy P, countdown to kickoff Buffalo Bills next on the BetMGM Network. Yeah, it's time to address the Buffalo Bills. Countdown to kickoff continues. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. If you're there on X, thanks for hanging out. We do this on a regular basis, especially now that we've entered football season. So a lot of fun planned for this upcoming football season. Hope you guys are hanging with us. We're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills in just a moment. But Sam, we were talking about some college football games coming up this weekend. I do want to circle back to that because there's a lot of really good games coming up on Saturday and Sunday that we have not even addressed yet. So we'll get back to that coming up. But one of your guys reached out to you and told you that you could share, gave you the go-ahead, share a bet that he plans on making soon.
Yeah, they're going to bet Stony Brook. 308-931 Stony Brook. They're at San Diego State. If you've listened to this show, if you've followed me on other shows, I do the Chuckle Game on You Better You Bet with Costos. It used to be with Costos and Barkley. Now it's Costos and Femi. And we would always do that Friday Chuckle Game, and it would be a huge rotation number from an FCS game. And they were oftentimes setting up games on Saturday, but they wouldn't bet until Saturday. And those did really well and have done really well. And I think we're going to do it again this year. But Rick and the boys are going to play Stony Brook. Again, Stony Brook could get blown out in the game. I mean, they're playing San Diego State. I think you have to understand that. Like, this is not a lock or anything, and I'll never say anything is a lock. But these guys are going to bet Stony Brook. And the best number you can get now is 19.5. There are some 19 mm-hmm. showing. I think the plan there, without knowing the plan, is to drive this down to, like, 17. So they're going to take anything north of that fat 17. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that they're going to bet it. And I said, well, can I share it? And he said, of course. Now, you might get resistance you will get resistance at 17 if it gets there. Other people will lay 17. But he said, give Stony Brook plus 19.5. That is 10 o'clock tonight on the East Coast. Stony Brook plus the points. The Seawolves. Are you in? Are you following?
Yeah, I'm taking a look. All right, let me see where I can get it. BetMGM does not have it.
There's a couple. They do not have the FCS up, unfortunately. Okay.
Oh, Superbook did post. A few minutes ago, they did not have it up. Okay. Yeah, no, definitely a few. There's plenty of 19.5s out there. Plenty of them.
But I have no idea why. Don't ask me to handicap it because I haven't.
No, but I have nothing.
These guys, they like Stony Brook. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not. So here we are, Thursday night.
You don't think
night,
they're coming out the other side, Eastern, right?
I don't. I mean, Pinnacle's already 18.5.
Yeah.
So Pinnacle, to a lot of people, is sort of that compass. And mm-hmm. if they're a point lower than market, that is worth paying attention to. Chris is 19. Circa is 19. But there are 19.5s readily available out there. So that's the play. When it loses by 30, I can't wait to talk about it tomorrow.
Thanks for sharing. Is it going to be on TV? Like, what's the situation?
If it's on ESPN Plus, I can't watch it anymore because I've canceled my subscription.
We are taking some hardline stances on the whole streaming scenario. just quickly, we'll get to it coming up. The Buffalo Bills. We talked about the Bills coming up anyways. But yeah, you might be following along on an app, but we'll get it figured out. But like you mentioned the other day, after we were Mountain West Network, I don't even know what that is. Yeah, I was hearing from people like you do about, okay, I got this stick. I got this special website if you go to where you can get through all of it. Like, trust me. I was hearing from some of those after our conversation that we ended up having the other day. All right. Anyways, countdown to kickoff Buffalo Bills. We hit on the Ravens earlier on in the show. We're going to bring our insider in, Mike Shope, coming up top of the hour, WGR in Buffalo, good friend of ours. And he's fantastic. Maybe we'll even squeeze in some fantasy football questions to him. But the Bills, 13-4 last year, number two seed. We know the story. With the Ravens, it's how are they going to lose it in the playoffs? With the Bills, it's how are they going to lose and how are they going to lose to the Chiefs? Like, are they ever going to beat the Chiefs? It's just not a matter of if, it's been a matter of when. But last regular season was phenomenal. Josh Allen ends up getting the MVP. Some argued that he should have gotten the year before. They go perfect at home. It was a terrific regular season. They pummel the Broncos 31-7 in the wild card round. They take care of the Ravens in the divisional round. It was just them not making mistakes. It was one penalty. Josh Allen didn't have a very productive day, but they didn't turn the ball over three times like the Ravens did. They were plus three in that department, so they end up winning. And then they play the Chiefs. This time they lose 32-29. They are co-favorites for the Super Bowl. They are co-favorites for the AFC title. They are large favorites for the division, which we've talked a lot this week, I'd say many weeks, about pairing the Bills to win the AFC East with another team. They have the highest win total in the NFL. They are the only team that is sitting at 12.5. And Sam, you declared on Monday morning that you have Bills fever.
I do. I bet them to win the Super Bowl. First time in my life. What could go wrong? A franchise that's never won a Super Bowl. That's the team getting my money. Oh, boy. I look at what they did defensively. And you had to make a couple of changes. You had to beef up that side of the ball. And they did it. They did it accordingly. They are attacking off seasons now like teams that are serious about winning a Super Bowl. To bring in Joey Bosa to play on the D-line is a huge deal for me. Huge deal. And he'll be reinvigorated here in Buffalo. Trey White, according to WGR in Buffalo, Trey White could be available for the opener. Now, that was an injury that happened a week or two ago, and there hasn't been a lot of reporting on it because the NFL doesn't have to report injuries. Like, you don't have to do that yet. But he has not been at practice, and there was a scare because Trey White has had some issues, some season-ending issues over the years. But according to this story from WGR, Bills GM Brandon Bean is not ruling White out for the season opener. So that's good. There were some concerns that he would be missing a lot of time. And if he doesn't play week one, I don't care. Like, as long as he's on the field when the games matter. They also just brought back Jordan Poyer. So that's another boon to the secondary. Because if they have to win, that's a problem. DeMar Hamlin stinks. I've said that for years. But we feel bad for DeMar Hamlin. So we treat him with kid gloves. He's not a starting safety in the NFL. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case anymore because Poyer is now on the practice squad, and I think they're trying to elevate him forward. But most importantly, Joe, the offense is back. An elite offense last year. Top three in several advanced analytics and metrics. And, okay, they lost Amari Cooper. So what? Amari Cooper was, I don't want to say he washed.
He was a bust. Complete bust. I was dead wrong. I thought that was going to be a big ad. I liked the move at the time. He did nothing for that team. Nothing.
Yeah. So you're relying on elevated play, from Keon Coleman, who they really like at receiver. Shakir's great. Shakir's their best receiver. And then they brought in Joshua Palmer to sort of be that deep threat for them. He played with the Chargers, and now he's a Bill. Elijah Moore could be interesting in the slot. But the entire offensive line mostly returns. Josh Allen, I think, is the most valuable player in football to the point spread. And then James Cook. James Cook's here. So yep. Offensively, for a team that did basically whatever it wanted last regular season, is back. And you make those additions on defense. I love Joe Brady. I love Babich on D. Their coordinators are good. And I'm a believer in Sean McDermott. So this team has done everything right. They have addressed basically every weakness that they had from last season. And if they can finally get through Kansas City, they're 0-4. Josh Allen's 0-4 against Kansas City. Three of those losses are by one score in the playoffs. They're so close, they can taste it. And I think this is the year they break through.
I love what they did with that line, too. They added depth pieces. All right, let's second round, third round, fourth round. Let's just keep adding defensive linemen. We need to get deeper there. And you talked about some of the moves that they make, including Joey Bosa there. That's the big one. Von Miller also pretty much a nothing. Like, there were certain games he would pop, but he was a disappointment based on the amount of money that they ended up giving him. So, yeah, McDermott probably got his way in this. Like, okay, guys, we're good offensively. Look at what we have with Josh Allen. And we re-sign James Cook, so there's no noise there. That thing's wrapped up. Everything goes through Shakur in the passing game, too. You got a couple of good tight ends. What's the weakness? We'll have to ask Shope. Like, what is he concerned about? I'm not do you have something that really stands out to you? Aside from beating the Chiefs in the playoffs, what is the Bills' weakness?
I don't know if it's a weakness, but I don't know that wide receiver is a strength. I think sure. It could be, potentially. But right now, I mean, they don't have a Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. Does that make it a weakness, though? I don't know, because I think they're happy with what they have. Of course, you'd love to have a legit first-round fantasy receiver, but you just don't. They have, though, what they believe is the best quarterback in the league. And Shope and the Bulldog talk about this all the time. The last five off seasons, Josh Allen has picked something to hone in on and develop. And they've added something to his game every single off season. He's improved every single off season. So I think the belief there is that the quarterback will elevate everybody around him. They're not going to hit you, though, with, you know, guys that have 200-yard receiving games. That's not going to happen. But if they can spread the ball and balance the attack, if they can run it, then they're going to be able to pass it, and then you don't know what to stop. All right, do we stop the pass? Do we stop the run? Oh, here's our 6-7 quarterback now on a quarterback draw. If it's clicking, if the offense is working, I don't want to use the term unguardable because that's ridiculous. But it's as versatile an offense in the league. It's as versatile as anybody when it's on. And they believe in the play calling. They believe in the schematics. They believe in the quarterback.
What made you decide this is different? It's happening. They're finally going to take down the Chiefs or the Ravens or both, and they're going to be in the Super Bowl. That's why I want to bet this right now. What was the deciding factor?
They didn't sit pat. A lot of teams, I think, in this position would just say, no, we're good enough. We're going to run this back. We don't need anything else. We have everything we need in this room. They didn't admit that they needed help, but they went out and they got Joey Bosa, and they went out and they got Trey White and brought him back to town, and they're bringing in a guy like Poyer. I think your point about the draft is solid, too. I mean, you look at what they did on that defensive side of the ball. Not only the depth up front, but the depth at corner, the depth at safety. Now, they do have their number one pick. Hairston is on the shelf. That's the kid they took in the first round from Kentucky. So, you know, that's not ideal. You'd love to have your number one pick on the field right away. They were going to put him on the opposite side of Benford and roll those two out there. That's not going to happen, at least early in the season. But I think the way that they attack their defensive free agency moves and their defensive draft is what kind of got me there. There's a lot of depth on a team that maybe didn't have the defensive depth last year. It's so funny, though, because if you listen to WGR, they're like, oh, we're weak at safety. We need safeties. Not and I'm not. Looking at their 50. I'm looking at their 53 man roster saying this is one of the best in the league. Again, I said earlier, Baltimore 1A, Buffalo 1B. This roster is loaded, and you have Josh Allen at quarterback. That's how I got there.
This defense has the potential to be one of the top ones. Like, I'm looking at every level, and they're strong. Now you have contributors like Epinesa. He's listed as a backup currently on the depth chart. Like you mentioned, you don't like Hamlin. Well, he's a backup now. That's probably the role he should be in. But, like, they're just deeper everywhere. That's what I find interesting at the top of the AFC, the top of the Super Bowl odds. When you look at these three teams that we've talked about over the last 2 days, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, all of them are decidedly better. We went over just now the areas where the Bills improved. Earlier, we talked about the Ravens, how they got better on the defensive side of the ball via the draft and free agency. And then yesterday, we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and how they ended up improving as well. So they're going to have more weapons on offense. And I think overall, the offensive line might be better, in a better spot than where they were last year due to the injuries. So all three of these teams trying to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, they're not standing pat. They all improved. It's going to be fascinating to watch that coming up this season. All right, there was a lot of NFL news that went down yesterday. We failed to get to so far. We're going to address that on the other side. This is the BetMGM Network.
I contend no first-year quarterback in the history of the league has been dropped into a better spot for success than J.J. McCarthy. Now, what's going to be different from Sam Darnold is this team's going to run the ball a lot more than they have the past 3 years under Kevin O'Connell. They beefed up these offensive line with run-blocking personnel, and they added Jordan Mason, who's going to get the short yardage carries. Jordan Mason is one of my favorite bets to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. He's sitting on 10, 12, 14 rushing touchdowns as a real possibility for Jordan Mason as the designated goal line back in a high functioning offense. Then why do we care about designated goal line backs in high functioning offenses? Here's why. Last year, your touchdown leader was James Cook. The previous year had two.
Woo! What a long shot that would be. That was an interesting nugget from our guy, Charch. It was an interesting appearance from Charch. Sam, there was a lot that was going on throughout that entire conversation. But yeah, Mason right now, 55-1, rushing touchdown leader. He's right about James Cook. And that's funny because we were just talking about the Bills. It was actually a three-way tie for the rushing touchdown leader. He may have been talking about overall touchdowns. Henry, Cook, Jahmyr Gibbs, each of them have 16 rushing touchdowns last year. High-powered offenses. The thing with Cook is, yeah, he had 16 this past season. The year before, he had two. So I actually keep going back to that. Like, is there going to be regression on Cook? Because they decided to post that number at 8.5 for this season.
You know who's not going to lead the league in rushing touchdowns? Frank Gore Sr.
No, I think he will. Is he with us? Or Junior? Junior was cut.
Yes, but I thought you thought that that was real Frank Gore, not baby Frank Gore.
It is Frank Gore.
No, Junior. It's the old man is not playing football.
He's still playing. No, he's not. Yes, he
Paul,
is.
Paul, can you clean this up for us, please? I think Joe was actually convinced that Frank Gore Sr. was the guy being cut and then re-signed by the Bills.
I appreciate that he's sticking to the bit and doubling down and tripling down. He was definitely serious about Frank Gore Sr. being like on the Bills practice squad during the break.
He was on the Bills. He was on the Bills in 2019.
In 2019. Yeah, yes. Yeah, Wikipedia tells me he's an advisor to the Niners these days.
So we did the math. Very funny. Joe goes, wait a minute. How old's Frank Gore Jr.? So we looked that up, and he's 23. And then Joe said, he's a you baby. Yeah, he is. He was born because Frank Gore Sr. was a Miami running back from 01 to 04. Frank Gore Jr., born March 13th, 2002.
02 in March? Okay, so he was conceived before
September.
Okay, before the ACL.
Right, before the injury we all remember. Right, watching that game, was that the championship when that happened? I want to say
no.
Yes.
That was Willis McGahee. Joe, God.
See, I'm all messed up, man. Well, how many injuries did Frank Gore have? What was his one? Didn't he have a?
I felt like he had an ACL, but that was spring practice. I don't think that hit the ESPN highlights for like a week at a time.
Oh, you're right. Sports Center. Gore he had him tore, in back-to-back years.
Gore tore his ACL during spring practice in 2002.
Okay, spring. And Frank Gore Jr. was born in September?
March.
So.
Of 23.
Oh, interesting time.
It's right around
recovery.
There.
Yeah. During the recovery. Yeah.
I want to go somewhere, but I also don't. So let's not.
It's for the best.
Let's not.
Okay. All right.
So Frank Gore Jr. MVP. In and out with the Bills. Maybe he'll be there. Maybe he won't.
Gotcha. In and out. Listen, we are live on X this hour, including this segment. This is a Bet Sweats. You can find us on X, bet_sweat, Sam at SP Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. We'll talk to Mike Shope a little bit more about the Bills coming up at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes. There was some NFL news that went down yesterday that we have failed to address so far. And when one came out, I was kind of mad at myself. Not because I think it's going to decide a Chiefs bet, because in the Beat the Books that I recorded yesterday, I'm like, whoa, look at the Chiefs. Full arsenal of weapons on the outside for Patrick Mahomes, in addition to some of the other changes. It looks like everybody's going to be out there. And then we find out yesterday, they're going to accept the 6-game suspension. Rashee Rice will not be there for the first 6 games of the year for Kansas City. You may remember over the summer in Dallas, he got in big trouble. People got hurt. He was drag racing a Lamborghini, doing stupid stuff. So Rice is not going to be out there for the first 6 games. Last year, he played just about a month before getting injured. Great rookie year. We go back a couple of years ago, but Rice is going to be unavailable once again for Kansas City to start the season.
You know how we reacted to that news yesterday? We're sitting on the set taping Bear Bets. Mm-hmm. We're all betting Travis Kelce touchdowns over. We just decided, like, this is the move. Now, he only had 3 last season. Only had 3. But if you go to the previous 5 years, 5, 12, 9, 11, 5. What's more important, last year or the last 6 years? The number is only 4.5. But if Rice isn't there for the first 6 games, you're going to have opportunities for Kelce. I don't know what I'm missing here. And, you know, if he gets hurt, so be it. But 4.5 touchdowns on Kelce seems insanely disrespectful. Now, they're going to make you pay the price. It's $1.40. I think Jeff laid $1.40. We were looking at a couple other places that were $1.50, $1.60. I mean, talk me out of Kelce to catch 5 touchdowns this year.
I liked it before the Rice news. So, yeah, just to get to that number 5, I would believe in the larger sample. Even though he's getting older and you see that slide in players' careers around this time, everybody believes, okay, it's going to be his last season. And Mahomes is going to want to feed his guy, Travis Kelce, in these spots. It was shocking that he was limited to so few, only 3 touchdowns all of last regular season. Remember, the narrative was, well, he's done, or he's just kind of coasting through the regular season, waiting for the playoffs. I mean, you can make the argument that that was somewhat true, but just to add 2 more to get to 5 when he had 133 targets last year, that didn't change. He's still going to get 100-plus targets, you would think. So, yeah, I like that. I think it was a good bet with Rice on the field, and now he's going to be missing 6 games. That makes a lot of sense. Man, that's a really good bet.
It's expensive. I don't think you and I are excited about lining up a bunch of bets at -140, but I think that's a great point about the targets, because it's easy to look at the touchdown decline. Last 3 years, 12-5-3 in chronological order. But the targets, 152, 121, 133. He's going to get over 100 targets again, assuming he stays on the field. I know there's some people that think he's going to be on the Gronk plan, and you just got to keep him upright, keep him healthy, and use him in the playoffs. He's not 50. He's 36. He's not that old. Well, he's actually 35. He turns 36 in October. People talk about him like he's 50 years old.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. He's breaking it. That might be an alt number, honestly. If you want to take a look at it at some plus money prices, I think that's an amazing bet. I really like it. We didn't talk about the Saints announcing their QB1. It's sort of a surprise, but if you watch the preseason, not really. The assumption for a long time was it's going to be Tyler Shuck. Why not? You use a 40th draft pick. They're probably going to be bad again. They're going to have a very high pick. They might go back to that well and go QB next season with a top five, top three, maybe the number one overall selection, right? They don't go with the rookie. Shuck struggled. And they said, let's go Spencer Rattler. Played in 7 games last year, lost them all, had more interceptions than touchdowns. Sam, my first reaction was this decision of Rattler. Are they playing the guy that won the quarterback camp battle, or are they playing the guy more likely to lead them to more losses?
It's a fair question. They also made an interesting move. They cut Jay Kaner. So they only, according to our lads, they only have two quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
Right. But you would think a team with no quarterback should have multiple quarterbacks to at least, you know, keep the room fresh and maybe have these guys push each other. Nope, it's just Rattler and Shuck. You know, everybody is in this holding pattern with Arch. I think it's obvious New Orleans and Cleveland are atrocious this year, and they're not going to win a lot of football games. But most years, you have that clear-cut number one guy that's going to come out of college and go number one overall. Arch might go back, Joe. I mean, there's no guarantee. And if you're the Manning family, I know Arch is from New Orleans. I'm well aware of that. Do you really want to play there? Do you want to be a Saint? Do you want to be a Brown? If that's the 1-2 combo and Arch has the ability to either go back to Texas, get paid to play, essentially, right? I mean, he's making a lot of money at Texas. Or do you go to Cleveland or New Orleans?
I know. I'm entering this year thinking that he is going to go back to school. However, I actually think if the Saints get the number one pick, that means he's more likely to go to the NFL just because of Grandpa. And you have that Manning storyline too. They're the first family of the NFL. And then he can be the quarterback where Grandpa was and where he's a legend. And we have an offensive-minded coach that maybe they trust now. I don't know. Like, that would be an amazing storyline. Mike Schoep, WGR, joins us next. We'll find out about the Bills and what bets to place on the BetMGM Network.